A new documentary shines the spotlight on background singers, those anonymous voices off to the side of the stage, as the film's title says, 20 feet from stardom. They'll take a few steps closer to fame when the film opens this Friday in New York and Los Angeles. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco sat down with the director and some of the women who share their stories in the film.
20 Feet from Stardom is a reminder that most of pop music's catchiest hooks were sung anonymously. Filmmaker Morgan Neville says he wanted to put these unheralded voices, black, female, and honed in the church, front and center.
I was really more interested in looking at people who were kind of voices for hire, who were able to walk into sessions, never knowing what they had to do, and could bring it.
Bring it, like Mary Clayton did for the Rolling Stones. Clayton got a shot at stardom, but it never panned out. The film is filled with heartbreak stories. Darlene Love was the voice for hits credited to other singers in the 1950s and 60s, her career derailed by producer Phil Spector. In the documentary, she says she was so discouraged she gave up music for many years.
The only thing I thought I could do and make a little money to survive, you know, I started cleaning houses. Not the great Darlene Love. She's not doing cleaning houses. I say, yes, the great Darlene Love is. She is cleaning houses.
It's kind of bittersweet. Everybody was, most of us, we were always kind of bubbling under.
Claudia Lanier, who is also featured in the movie, told me about singing backup for Ike and Tina Turner.
Bam, we hit the floor running, and you just better catch up, because if we didn't, believe me, Ike was giving us the evil eye. So we had to perform. And if you didn't perform, when you got your check at the end of the week, it had a list of deductions that he took out of your check.
Soon she was touring with Joe Cocker, posing for Playboy, and partying with David Bowie and Mick Jagger, who co-wrote the song Brown Sugar in her honor.
People focus on who wrote the song about who, but why didn't they write a song for me to sing? That would have made all the difference in me making that left or right turn and why I dropped off the map. Because if you're not a songwriter yourself, a lot of it does depend on the right material.
Lanier did get to record a solo album. It went nowhere. She had a daughter to support, bills to pay, and she got fed up with the rock and roll lifestyle.
I got tired of stepping over people passing out in my house. And one day I just told them, look, here's your hat and coat. And then I just closed up shop and just remembered the things that I had been trained about in college and took that path. And that's where I went. That's where I dropped off the radar.
Lanier stopped singing.
Not a zilch.
She's been quietly teaching Spanish grammar at a small Southern California college for the past 30 years.
Most of my students did not know, but through the grapevine, they started finding out. I Googled your name last night and all of this stuff came up and I didn't know you did this and you sang with so-and-so. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Lisa Fisher got a little closer than 20 Feet to Stardom. She won a Grammy for her 1991 hit, How Can I Ease the Pain? But she says she found a solo career frightening.
I just didn't feel safe. You know, people have certain visions of what they see for you. And as they're doing their jobs, they may see, well, you know, chess move. This makes sense to do this. It's strategic. This is war. This is, you just don't know what's going to happen until the next move is made. And I think just all those things just made me crazy. It's like I just wanted to have a relationship with the music. And it just scared me too much. I wasn't ready. I really wasn't ready.
Fisher prefers singing backup, and she's sung with just about everybody from Luther Vandross to Chaka Khan to Sting. She's on the road now with the Rolling Stones.
Feels like we're part of this one tuning fork and it's broken in half. And somehow together, when we're singing together, we're putting this tuning fork back together. Like if you were to sing like one note and I'd have to learn how you're singing this one note and just hone it and change it until it feels like, until it's this one beautiful thing. It's like being cradled.
Maybe way supposed to be. Save the care within the crowd, but you're looking for a reason to break free. Seems like you wanna scream, but your voice is never too loud.
29-year-old Judith Hill represents the newest generation of background singers in the film. She was to duet with Michael Jackson on his comeback tour, which was canceled by his death. She even had a shot on the TV competition show The Voice, where she was a favorite before getting eliminated. Hill says she's determined to make a career with her own music.
It's such a hard, hard business. I want to release an album. I want to tour as much as possible. But anytime I get the opportunity to sing backgrounds, I want to do it because it's so much fun. But I think the key is to stay active and stay visible.
Hill is not counting on the new documentary for a career boost as much as some of the older singers are. Mary Clayton's solo recordings are being reissued to coincide with the movie. Darlene Love's biography was recently re-released. Even Claudia Lanier says she's inspired to begin singing again. There's talk of a comeback tour for the stars of the documentary. They got a little practice in our studio when I asked them on the spot to sing the Morning Edition theme. Actually has words to it.
Oh, boy.
Cool, play it. I'm game. Whatever. Come on, I'm ready for a train wreck. Let's bring it. Come on.
But you have to sing it with us. That'll be part of the fun.
I hate to wake up in the morning. Please just let me sleep this morning. Let me stay in bed and rest.
With Lisa Fisher, Claudia Lanier, and Judith Hill, I'm Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne, and we're both really wide awake.